Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Dearie, my famous gelatin mold. Let's make some room in here.
You keep dog food in the fridge?
It's not dog food, it's fresh pet. Real meat, real veggies.
For a dog.
For Hank.
Whatever her name is, it's just wrong.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
I've been on my best behavior, slowly counting down the days. My desire is strong and I know she's gonna put me on. She's the kind of girl to make you chase. It's holding hands and in a day. On top of the clothes, play and say. But I know that she got needs, so patiently I'm waiting till she says, today is the day. I'll put in the work, anything you need, consider it done. Your wish is my command, understand, I'm hoping the time will come. We could get down to the business, down to the business, down to the business of love. I'll play by your rules, keep it cool, long as the
time
like my girls in high and heels, buying her designer thrills. I'm confessing I invest for return, even if they don't have to love you, that's real. I don't wanna wait in vain, look so good tonight, it's a shame. However long it takes, it's worth the wait, I just need to hear your call on my name. Consider it done. Your wish is my command. Understand, I'm hoping the
time will come.
We can get down to the business, down to the business, down to the business of love. I'll play by your rules, keep it cool, long as the
time will come.
What you're searching for, unselfish love of a lifetime. I'm here, so let the fun begin. Sun coming up that way. Gonna start all over, over and over again.
I'll put in the work,
anything you need, consider it done. Your wish is my command, understand, I'm hoping the
time will come.
We can get down to the business, down to the business, down to the business of love. I'll play by your rules, keep it cool, long as the
time will come.
On air now.
This is the product of Beverly Nation. This is the talker, Wanda Walker, on air now from Logos. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Please, please remember to press 1 to join our conversation to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia Production. Good evening, everyone out there. Tonight, our topic is going to be the politics of black marriages and how it shapes our policies and politics in the black community around the world, the U.S., and especially Philadelphia. Part two, we're going to have conversation about the Supreme Court decision and how it will shape the future of college admissions and more. So let's get to it. It's very important when we're talking to have opinions, but also to have facts. And so whenever I'm picking a subject, I make sure that I do enough research to have some numbers to give to the audience so that they know that this just isn't about feelings, but we actually have data to back up how we're feeling. And so in putting out this topic, someone asked me, what does politics have to do with marriage? I think that it has a lot to do with marriage. And in our community, everything is connected. So if you have a community that is big on family, then they'll probably be big on education and voting. And so it will shape the politics in our community along with the policies in our communities. So although this topic might sound one-sided to you, I wanted to get people to think on the side of why marriage is important in the Black community, how it affects our community, and the components of a marriage in our community. And when I was doing the research, I found a lot of interesting articles on how important Black fathers are in our community. And I want to give you some statistics here. I picked out this article, and it says 36 shocking statistics on fatherless homes. So the first one, 85% of the youth who are currently in prison grew up in a fatherless home. Number two, 7 out of every 10 youth that are housed in a state-operated correctional facilities, including detention, from a fatherless home. Number three, you can see where this is going. 39% of the students in the United States from the first grade to their senior year do not have a father to be living in poverty than children with a father. So that's one article, and I'll give you the names of these articles a little bit later, the titles if you want to look it up. I have another article here. It's called the Institute of Family Studies. And I made sure I got relevant current articles as well, because I don't want anything from 2012 or anything like that. I wanted it to be like 2021, 2020. This article right here from the Institute of Family Studies is June 17, 2021. It's titled, Less Poverty, Less Prisons, More College. What two-parent means for Black and white children. Now, when I'm talking about this, I would think that what applies to us here in Philly applies to other cities in the United States and other cities and countries across the world. I can't concede that fathers are important in Philadelphia, but they're not important in the Philippines. And so on and so forth. So this is a very big part of what's going on in our neighborhood. We need family structure. And it's not going to always be a father. I get that. I'm a divorcee myself. But I want to ask the listeners, don't you see a pattern here in the evidence that pretty much says that we need to get back to traditions and basics, and we need to try a little bit harder or a lot harder for the sakes of our children? It's very important that if we see things going left, do our research and figure out what we were doing when everything was going right and get back on that track. And I keep seeing the same thing every single time there's a problem. Our shooters are getting younger. The problems are in the school, they're in the streets, and we keep pouring money into it, and we keep trying to make it the fault of the cops and the crossing guard and the teacher, but nobody wants to really take responsibility. It starts at home. It starts at home, and it starts with parenting. And I strongly believe that what we see in the streets is definitely the result of poor parenting. Absentee parenting, poor parenting, unaccountable parents, complicit parents, parents that rather be their children's friends than be a parent, parents that sign on to what their kids do, parents that make excuses for what their kids do. And now we're looking at the fact that a lot of us are being held hostage behind crumbs of the seed that was planted that wasn't nurtured properly. So I want to go on and go to another article, and this one is from the National Fatherhood Initiative. And this is titled, Statistics Don't Lie, Fathers Matter. And I am looking for the date for this, but according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 18.4 million children, one in four, live without a biological step or adoptive father in the home. That's enough children to fill the New York City twice or Los Angeles four times over. Research has shown that a father's absence affects the child in numerous unfortunate ways, while a father's presence makes a positive difference in the lives of both children and mothers. That predict father involvement. Many factors affect how involved a father is with his children. And these are some of the most vital. They create strong bonds between fathers and their children. Okay, so I'm going to go down the list, and I wonder if you all agree with this. Good parenting or co-parenting relationships, stable relationships with parents and other parents, parents, others, parents support his involvement, friends and family support his involvement, employers support his involvement, satisfied with the marriage. It says in or finished a fatherhood or parenting program, involved in his partner's pregnancy, lives with children, being a dad vital to his identity. Children look like him. I don't know what that one means. No depression, no substance abuse, no domestic violence. Partner/other, parents don't restrict access to children. So again, that list was the factors that predict father's involvement. Okay, my next one would be why involve dads? Okay, it's good for moms. And then the list for this one says more likely to receive prenatal care, less likely to smoke during pregnancy, healthier births, low risk and postpartum stress, low risk of postpartum depression, lower parenting stress, more leisure time because you're co-parenting, high maternal satisfaction. That's pretty good for the mom. That's a good reason to keep a dad in the house. My next one is the strength of a father's presence. Okay. Infant mortality, low birth weight rate, emotional and behavioral problems, neglect and abuse, injury, obesity, poor school performance, teenage pregnancy, incarceration and juvenile sentencing, alcohol and substance abuse, criminal activity, and suicide. So it's very important to have the father's presence. His presence cuts down on those things. So this article, again, comes from the National Fatherhood Initiative, and you can find that on www.fatherhood.org. And this is from a 2022 article. And the last one I'm going to read to you from this article is The Father's Absence Crisis in America. Okay, and it says 4 times greater risk of poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems, 2 times likely risk of infant mortality, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit a crime, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, 2 times more likely to suffer obesity, and 2 times more likely to drop out of school. So we have 18.4 million children in the U.S., 1 in 4 without a biological step or adoptive father in the home. So with numbers like that and statistics like that, the facts don't lie. We need to do something about this. If we can't get married overnight or decide to come together and live in the same household, we as parents in the community, we have to decide and agree that we have to do more to support our fathers in the community and make their presence more available and known so that these numbers can go down and things won't look so bleak. We can fix this if we try, but we have to. We have to put forth the effort, people. We have to. So with saying that, we have a track next by international DJ legendary Brother O. So hold that thought and follow me.
Say if I was your boyfriend and your boyfriend was me, it would be so secure, he wouldn't have to compete. Maybe I'm just that fly that he thinks that you leave. Cause as pretty as you are, you deserve finer things. Don't he know when you carry gold, you can't toss it around like it is silver. You'll never see it glitter. And so just let him know that someone like me's around the corner, waiting my turn just to deliver all my love. Your heart is tender and soft as a whisper. Yeah, wanna give you all my love. Your heart is tender and soft as a
girlfriend was me, you would want to know others, cause that'd be all in me. Treat your love like a kingdom, hold you down like a queen. Need a beat to my name, if you know what I mean. Boy, you know my heart is gold, cause don't play around like it's some silver.
And so
gonna give you all my love. 'Cause your heart is tender and soft as a whisper.
Caller number one. Hello, how are you?
I am good, and yourself?
Hello?
Caller number one, you're live right now on air. Okay.
I can't hear you.
All right, there we go. Hold on a second, Wanda. I believe she's talking right now. All right, please speak into the mic.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Tell me, what are your
thoughts on the topic?
First of all, I agree with your basic premise. However, the question is, unfortunately, we do live in the 21st century, and the nuclear family is, I'm not going to say it's a thing of the past, but it's definitely evolved into some other thing. So do you see any evidence or any statistics that talk about a father's involvement but not necessarily being in the home proper?
Okay. So what would your suggestion be?
I'm not against the idea of higher marriage and the like. I'm just saying that understanding the components of society right now, we still have to make sure that men make sure that they step up, whether they are in the home or not.
Okay.
I was in a situation where I was divorced from my daughter's mother. However, I lived 2 miles away and made it a point to be with my daughter on an extended and consistent basis. Always wondering whether it's the man being in the home specifically or being active in the child's life and the
Good
impacts
point.
That happen there.
Good point.
And I want to make sure that everybody understands I'm not
anti-marriage.
From? I'm just looking at the situation we have on the ground right now, so that what steps do we need to make in order, while we're going through the adjustment that we need to to better structure our families. But at least if you're going to have a child's life and the like. Does that make sense?
Very good point. Very good point. Caller, could you give your name and where you're calling from before we let
I'm
you
Ken.
Go, please?
I'm Ken from Philadelphia.
Thank you very much, Ken, for your input. It's very much appreciated. You have a wonderful night and keep listening. Thank you. So we had our first caller, and he has a very good point. He's saying that, you know, much of what I was speaking on has a lot to do with a traditional family nucleus, and that's not what we're seeing nowadays. So is it the issue comes down to do we necessarily need the father in the home, or do we need him to be more present and step up and be in the child's life? So do we have caller number two? Good evening.
Good evening. This is E. Davis.
And where are you calling from?
From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm one of the hosts with Strictly Business with E. Davis.
Well, thank you for calling in. What do you think about the topic? Can you give your opinion?
Yes, ma'am. I believe it's both. You need the father in the home, and they need to be active. It shouldn't be one or the other. I understand circumstances happen, such as divorce, separation, but it's both because it's the father's presence. That's because the father provides that covering as a provider, and it's also his involvement in his child's daily activities. It's both. So we people need to be mindful on who we lay down with, because a child can be conceived.
Amen, sister. Amen. They didn't ask to come here, but once we bring them here, children change everything, and you have to make the sacrifices, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And you know what? In a better world or in a perfect world, it shouldn't be either or. You're absolutely right. A child is deserving of both, to have the father's presence and for the father to be in the home. Because after all, you can have a father in the home that's working so much or gone that even though he's in the home, he's not present. So being present in a child's life is very important. And being in the home definitely helps. I was raised in a two-family home, and it was dysfunctional. It wasn't perfect, but my parents stayed together until death did them part. And as a result, I knew to be on those steps at a certain time. I knew what I could do and couldn't get away with. And I finished school, went off to college, got a job, got married, had kids, you know, divorced 10 years later. But I did put forth the effort, you know, and I never kept my children away from my ex-husband. He might not have too much favorable stuff to say about me, but he will say I never kept the kids away from him. And that was very important. And the kids, our children turned out fantastic as far as I'm concerned. So I definitely agree with you. Thank you for that input. Now, what do you see for the future? What do you see for the future?
I feel the same way. The future, I mean, it's hard to detect because nowadays people don't feel that they should be married and they have the comment, go half on the baby and all this nonsense. Like you, I grew up with both parents in a home. It was like that until death. My father still living. My mother passed away. And like you, I'm a divorced mother. I since remarried. But the future is very murky because this generation, they really don't heed wise counsel. And this is a microwave generation. They want it quick. They want it fast. And the pioneers in marriage, the pioneers in a family structure are not here anymore. They were the grandmothers that stayed in their marriage despite the circumstances because they made a vow to death to us part. They forsaken all others. They didn't have their family in their business. And this generation is definitely not a healthy generation. And I only pray that it gets better, but people like you and me that had that family structure, that believe in the integrity of the stability of both parents, we still need to put an example into our children, let them know to drill it in. One thing my mother taught me when I was growing up, when I started dating, she just simply said, do not have a baby out of wedlock. She just drilled it into me. Now, I was born out of wedlock. My parents did marry when I was two. And when she was drilling that in me, I said, well, you did it, and Dad married you, and you guys, you know, live happily ever after. But she said, you just may not get that. And what she had was an exception. And she taught me to understand the exception versus reality. And this is what we need to teach our children. And what's going on in pop culture today with Keke Palmer and her boyfriend, he's blasting her on social media because she was dancing with Usher at a concert, and he feels offended because he felt that she disrespected him as his woman. And
oh wow,
it's like you just had a baby, you're a mother, you know, it is extremely disrespectful. And if you look at the video, she didn't do anything that was disrespectful. It was the fact that he felt blindsided by the performance. But again, she had a baby to somebody that's insecure. And again, we women and us and the men don't see that until after a child is involved. And now we have decided we're going to stay together for the sake of the child or break up for a mental state of mind. And so the future is very murky. It's very murky.
Okay. Please tell us when you're on the air.
My next show, my show was actually yesterday evening, but the next one is August the 3rd.
Oh, what a wonderful date. Okay, August the 1st. And your topic?
I'm a business analysis, so I'm not sure what the topic is, but it will definitely be strictly business.
I was trying to get it out of you early. Not a problem.
That's all right.
Okay. That's right. Business announced the business of the black family. What do we have to do? I think that,
you know what? That's
everything
my topic.
That you said.
That's my topic.
Yes. The business of the black family. And what do we have to do to succeed? Because everything you said is true. And what I'm seeing is just a lot of selfishness. Nobody wants to put anybody else first, not even their children. And nobody wants to make the sacrifices. And we want to forever be 20 or 18. It's like there are stages in life. You know, when you're in college, you party until the wheels come off. But then when you come out, you get a job. And then when you get married, you have a baby. And the baby's supposed to be so cute and adorable that the partying doesn't matter anymore. And we're not seeing that. We have, mothers and grandmothers in the club still trying to drop it like they're 20. And, it's just not making any sense. So thank you for your input, and please continue to listen tonight while I go over to the international DJ, Legend Brother O, for our next caller. Great. Okay.
I think Wanda then fell out in the spirit, y'all. Fell out in the spirit.
I'm so sorry. Caller number three. I was rocking back and forth. Caller number three, could you give us your name and your and where you're calling from?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Yolanda. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I love the topic at hand. I few things I would like to agree with Ken, the first caller. You know, wants to being present and actually being active to different things, whether they're in the home or not, they definitely should. It's important to have a father structure. The article, I did take a minute to look at it and saw that there's a vast distinction between Black families, as you stated, with marriage versus any other ethnic races. And I feel right now, because you asked the question, what do you see in the future? I feel that I see deteriorating for many reasons. For one, you see other people exploring same-sex relationships. And also, there seems to be a rise with interracial marriages, because there's a stigma that Black female, because they have to be a single parent and hold down the household and work. I find that there's a stigma with Black men stating that, you know, we try to wear the pants and we can't wear the pants and be with a man. So they are turning outside of the Black community for dating. And I also feel that it is, you know, you could be the best mom and give everything to your kid as a mother, but I feel at the end of the day, we can give our best, but only a man can really teach a man to be a man. There's just simple things that we can't teach a boy to do. I also feel that, you know, if we had more fathers in the home or marriage within the household, that we would have more kids growing into men with skills. I feel that if you have a skill, you know, it's almost teaching. If I feed you, you know, you might go hungry, but if you teach a man to fish, you'll never go hungry. So I feel that. I also feel that the problem is you have a lot of kids having kids is the problem overall. And we've lost the values of structure within the family unit, period, sometimes even in, you know, a marriage, a home that has both parents. So these are some of the things I feel. I noticed that it seems to be a new fad right now where the younger generation, they are exploring, like, sharing a relationship. I think there's a name for it overall. So I definitely see it declining in the future.
Wow. You said a lot, and you taught me some things. I didn't know that kids were actually doing the sharing relationships.
Yeah, that's a big thing right now.
Wow, I missed that one. Maybe because I'm not at the daycare anymore. I did hear you say that, you know, babies having babies, but I did read an article today that actually said teenage pregnancy is on the decline greatly. Still, abortion is the number one killer of Black people, but nevertheless, the pregnancy rate for teenagers is actually on the decline. So,
and I would agree with one thing. I feel that a lot of the kids, one thing about this generation right now, as you stated, they are very selfish. And I speak to a lot of teens on a daily basis. They don't even want to have kids at this given point. So
yes.
That might be the reason why.
I can't remember the last time I saw a teenager walk down the street pregnant. You know,
yeah.
You used to see this all the time. But thank you so very much for your input. Please continue to listen tonight and call back in if you have something else to say. We're going to go to caller number four. Caller number four, could you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Hello?
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 I can hear you a little bit.
Get closer to the mic.
Can you hear me better?
I don't know if you want Yeah, I hear you better now.
Okay. You can hear me now? Hello, can you hear me
yes,
now?
Yes, I can. How are you tonight?
I'm good. My name
can
is
you
Tina,
give us
and
your
I'm calling
name
from.
Where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Tina, and I'm calling from Philadelphia. And
hello,
the first
Tina.
Time I'm
How
listening.
Are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm tired, overworked, and underpaid as usual. But I needed to hear this conversation because I have some really strong feelings about this topic. You know,
okay.
I'm the youngest of seven, and I have five older brothers. Four out of the five of my brothers married the girls they dated in high school. And they
wow.
did that because they were not allowed to have sex in my mother's house unless they were
mm-hmm.
married. So soon after marrying, they, of course, moved out on their own. It has become so acceptable to have children outside of marriage. We're not requiring, and it's not just this current young generation. They learned it from somewhere. It didn't just happen overnight, where it's been
True.
Okay to constantly have children out of wedlock. And so subsequently, if there's nothing requiring them to stay, then men are going to leave. And when we talk about men being influential and helping to raise and create men, what they're doing and what has been the pattern is the belief that it's okay for men to be promiscuous. It's okay for them to have multiple baby mamas. I mean, that has been accepted, that has been taught. It's almost like a badge of honor, and we have accepted
yes.
it. We have accepted it, and unfortunately, the generation now, I mean, I have a neighbor now. She's living with her baby's father. She has two older daughters. One just had a child. She's in her late 20s, and the other one, who's in her, like, 18 or 19, she's allowed to have her boyfriend come spend the night. So, and then they got, then they have the younger child in the house, who's 12, I think, and she's watching all of this. So what do you think she's going to learn? This is okay. No, it's not. It's not.
You're absolutely right.
And the daughter that had the baby, I've never seen the father. Never. So, again, it's what has been tolerated. It's what has been encouraged. And now we're sitting back scratching our heads and seeing the damage that this has been going. This is generational. This didn't just happen overnight. It was truly generational.
Now, is the father in the home? Miss Tina, I didn't hear you say the father was in the home.
The 12-year-old father is in the home. The woman has two older daughters by different fathers. So there are three daughters in the house. There are three daughters in the house, one in her mid to late 20s, one in her early 20s. The one in her late 20s had a baby about 6-7 months ago. I've never seen that father. The younger one, either in her late teens or early 20s, her boyfriend comes and goes like he lives there.
Mm.
And then you have the 12-year-old, and she's watching all of this. So, again, that's a prime example of what we have tolerated. And I can honestly say, out of my five brothers, like I said, four of them married the women that they went to high school with. Two of them are coming up on 40 years of being married. Three of my sister-in-laws died because my oldest brother, when he went into the Navy, he relocated to California, and the first woman he was with, he married her. She died. So I had three sister-in-laws that died. All of my brothers coming out the house married the women that they were with. And
I totally understand, Tina. Hold that thought, please. We have a track. Don't hang up. We have a track next by the international DJ legend, Brother O.
kids are at school, there's only one thing I wanna do, is make her choose. Over and over again, lost in your skin, and it's so can't hold it in when you make that ugly face. It's so good to me. When you make that ugly face, you look so sexy. Can't get no much better than this. If it did, it'd have set the world on fire. Shower me with Hershey's kisses. So glad to get what you've been missing. Baby, won't you take it like you want this last night? Oh, your chocolate frame, it feels so good to me. And it's so amazing, I just can't hold it in when you make that.
Wonderful. I was thinking about the scenario that you gave with the neighbor next door, and the first thing I was thinking in my mind is it can't be a father in the house. But in fact, you're saying there is a father in the house. So
yes.
I would love to know how he really thinks about the situation. He's the father of the youngest, not the older ones. And we often know that parents will be like, well, those aren't your kids. You don't have a say-so. But if you're together or married and you're cohabitating and building together and providing together, then he should have a say-so. And I'm just wondering why he wouldn't put his foot down and say, hey, this is not going to be tolerated. No, you can't come and go. No, you can't spend the night. And this is part of the problem. Like, why grow up and do what you're supposed to do when you can stay irresponsible?
Because
and
you have to understand
someone else.
You have to understand the individual. The father is he does nothing. He doesn't work. He literally does nothing. when I first moved on this block. When I first moved
on this
block.
So that's all about just saying you have a man.
Exactly. Exactly. When I first moved on this block, I try to mentor people younger than me, especially if I believe they're trying to do something. And the first thing I said to him was, hey, let me do your resume. Let me coach you. He said, all right. It hasn't happened yet. And that's 3 years later. So you have to look at the type of person that he is. Because no respectable man, like you said, would tolerate that. All of my nieces and nephews are married, have children. My two oldest nephews, the oldest one has 7 children and 2 baby mamas, both of which he was married to. Okay? His brother is working on. Okay, his brother has 6 kids. He has 1 wife. So, again, it's a pattern about what they've been taught and what they've been exposed to. And there are so many factors that influence that influence our state of where we are as a people. I say this, and I don't know if people truly understand this, but I think the worst thing that happened to African Americans was desegregation. Because when we were no longer forced to stay together, we lost the need to protect each other and to stay together as one unit. Unfortunately for me, my father died when I was 8, but his loss wasn't felt because my grandfather was there. He was the one
that fixed us. Thank you, Ms. Tina. You have said a mouthful, and I really appreciate it. You've given me, and I'm quite sure the listeners, a lot to think about, because there are a lot of moving parts there, and I'm going to go to caller number 5. Thank you so much. Continue to listen and call back in if you have something else to say, but I'm going to get to caller number 5. Caller number 5, can you hear me?
Yo, this is Clever One half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your uncle got about like $900,000 worth of quarters rolled up in the basement at Grandma's house down South Philly. What's good?
We got to get there. We got to get those quarters. How are you?
Oh, everything is wonderful tonight. Everything is wonderful tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm just listening in to all this wonderful information going on, getting passed around, because, these fellas need to be listening out to this. And I got one thing to say, if I can say briefly. I'm not going to be up night with this one. Well, I'm going to say this. First of all, we got to stop. These guys got to stop being so emotional. If you're not getting love, you're not getting love. You know what I'm saying? It's love out here for everybody. Here's another thing. Some of us love different. Some of us become with these women where, we have different levels of emotion, Olympic system of emotion when it comes to them. So a lot of times, I'll say the ones that, kind of go through the baby moms and all that, it's an emotional factor where, it's kind of like a child, where we do fits. We have fits when something don't really go our way, you know what I'm saying? So you might need a few turns with a few different women to kind of understand who you are as a man, you know what I'm saying? And then, like you said, you got some guys that can kind of nail it on a bullseye where they know exactly what they want. They know exactly what they're going to tolerate, exactly what they're not going to tolerate, you know what I'm saying? And they have room for growth and adjustment, I'll say. You know what I'm saying? Those are the different measurements. I don't think that it's a hereditary factor, because I can say this. You'll have 2 people from the same home, and have different point of views on how to deal with their family structure. Like you may have siblings who don't even want children. Where you come from a big village of a family, and you'll be the one that don't want the children. You know what I'm saying? Because you always was around them. But another thing, real quick, what we must fix is this. We need to stop doing this. If we want the men to step up, let men be men out here. Stop allowing them to be LBGYTBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDBDB and I will be on the 12th. I will be on the 12th. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Which is a new Wednesday.
Do you
want to
give us a teaser of what your topic is going to be?
Oh, yeah. The topic is going to be about ignorant people. But I'm not going to tell you what the topic is going to be about. But it will be on the 12th, this Wednesday, Woo Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the old dude bastard when he snatched the microphone at the awards. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully Shot of Philadelphia, where your baby moms been dipped in your pockets when you came in drunk, coming in from night on Broadway, tapping dollars on butts. Check your satellites.
Thank you so very much. Wow, he said a mouthful. I want to go back to what Tina was talking about, though. She gave the perfect non-huxtable scenario that we see quite a bit in our communities. And I wonder, like she said, this didn't happen overnight. And she ended with a very profound statement when she said that the worst thing that ever happened to us was desegregation. And I would have to agree with her. And she's saying this on the heels of the Supreme Court justice decision for affirmative action. And when we had nobody to go to bat for us and we had to stick together and we had to work together, we stayed together as a family and a community. Now that we feel like we can do things on our own and we don't need each other, we see all this dysfunctional behavior. And it's a lot of ways to approach this subject tonight. I started to do it in reference to black women not getting married or having such a high rate of not being married or such a high rate of being single parents. But then I decided let's do the other end that people don't talk about a lot, the fathers and how important they are. Like, how can we take a negative topic and try to address it or approach it in a positive way by saying, hey, these are the statistics about fathers and how if they're in the house, things are so much better and that we need you all to be there. But with Tina's situation, Ms. Tina, what she was explaining, was something that we usually see. And so I want to get the opinion of Brother O. Brother O, are you there?
Well,
do you have anything to say about
this? Let's get the language right tonight. First of all, it's not desegregation in it dehumanizing people. If I go to Miami, I got money to spend. Now, listen. If I got money to spend, I should stay wherever I want to stay, period. If I want to eat somewhere, I should be able to eat where I want to. We do have to support black business, though. But what she really meant was integration, Ms. Wanda, is the root of all evil in our community. Trying to assimilate with them is the evil in our community. I don't believe in assimilation, and I damn sure don't believe in integration. But desegregation, you're God darn right I do believe in it, because my money's spent like anybody else. I'm a human. So
gotcha.
We got to do better in our communities. I said what I said. Now back to your transcript.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that input. So I want to go back to what Tina was talking about, because when she was explaining that whole scenario, what popped into my mind was the welfare system and how at one point in time you literally was penalized, from my understanding. Like they would come into your apartment housing complex and check to make sure there wasn't a man in your house for you to get this money and this housing assistance. And they would check for shoes and everything else. So could that be a part? Like we were encouraged almost, or rewarded, if you would like to say so, because you got the money and the assistance as long as you didn't have a man there. They knew you had to have a man because you kept having kids. But then you made the situation so he couldn't stay there, so he had to go lay his head someplace else if he couldn't totally provide for you. So that's a part that comes to mind when I think about this. And then I think about the impact that social media has on everybody. I often say anything under 40 is flawed. Like they've just lost their mind. And in the early childhood setting or educational setting, we have a thing called the triangle where it's the community, the family, and the school. And if the schools are failing our kids, in the community, all you see is chaos. And when you go in the house, you see the type of stuff Tina's talking about. How does a child stand a chance? How will our community survive? How do we stand a chance to succeed and thrive? These are all very important factors that go into what we see. And now it's to a point when you have a pot on the stove and the lid is on and it's boiling and now it's boiling over. And we're seeing this, the chaos and the blood in the streets. And we have to start having accountability for each and every one of our parts. Even if you're the best of person who never picks up a gun or does anything wrong, still, are you still doing your part as far as maybe feeding the kid down the street who you know has a crack mom or making sure you watch kids? If you're sitting at home doing nothing, are you keeping an eye out to make sure the kids get down the block safely? Safe corridors, we've been talking about that. You know, are you participating in community activities so that kids see a positive role model? You know, so many more things to do than just go to work, go to church, and go to a club. And so we all have to do our part because our black families are taking a hit and our communities are falling apart, and no one's going to fix this but us. So track next by the international DJ legend Brother O, and I'll be back.
I remember when I stood in this very place and I told you I'm always there for you. You understand me better than anyone still I ask. Ooh, when I know that you're the truth, I complicate when the simple fact is so day, right in front of my face. That is not the same. That the difference between love and lust ain't win or lose, but it's how you play the game. In a sea of faces, there's so many places
you.
we're back. So I'm going to read a statistic about black women. And this one is coming from an article, The Advancements of Black Women by the Numbers. And I'm going to the part about marriage where it says the black women have the lowest rate of marrying across race lines because of racial attitudes to the intermarriage. Just 49% of the college-educated black women marry a well-educated man, compared to 84% of college-educated white women, according to the analysis of the PSID. Data by Yale, and I'm trying to see exactly what year this was. So what do you think about a statement like that? So the next statement would be, my next one I'm reading, Marriage, Race, and Education, Black-White Gaps in marriage rates reflect different levels of education by race, but there is an important gender gap, too. Young white women, ages between 25 and 35, are the most likely to have at least a BA, which is 37%, followed by white men, 29%, black women, 23%, black men, 16%, according to our analysis of the ACS. So when we're looking at these types of topics, we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to do to correct this problem that we're seeing? And how does politics, because that was the title, shape or influence, or how does marriage, black marriage, influence politics and policies in our community? I would think that because I can see one way it shapes politics in our community, when we have so much dysfunction in our households and so much violence on the streets, so much of policy making gets focused on things like crimes and guns. Matter of fact, through the primaries, that was everyone's number one topic in Philadelphia, gun violence and crime. But if we didn't have the dysfunction we have in the households, we wouldn't have so much gun violence and crime. And so then maybe money, more money and emphasis could be put on trades and educating our children, or bringing in quality jobs, or having a job where you can afford the house that you want. So everything is connected. And when you have something that goes awry, then you can't forget to put, you can't go to the next step of building when you still have a problem on the basic ground level. And I think that's what we're seeing in our communities nowadays. So I would like some callers to call in and give me your viewpoint on that. I also want to know, does anyone have anything that they want to say in reference to the Supreme Court justice decision that happened this week? That's very important. How do you think that that will affect college attendance, admissions going forward? Will that be a plus or minus for HBCUs? I would like to know. I think I have another caller in the queue. Caller number 6, can you please give your name and where you're calling from?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Your name and
Yolanda.
Where you're calling from?
My name is Yolanda, and I'm calling from Philadelphia. I was still listening, and I wanted to touch up on a few more things that you stated. As far
awesome.
As the community, it takes a community to, you know, a village to raise children, and I feel that that's a big problem.
me, myself, I do advocate for the children in DHS. Unfortunately, in Philadelphia, that's the issue where they are taking our kids out of structured homes and putting them in different environments where trauma plays a role in how these kids are raised. They're going to have abandonment issues will lead to them not to be vacant in the home in the future. Also, I feel that politics plays a vast part in it because right now, like Philadelphia, it's one of the poorer cities in the country. And if you have a mom, a single parent, or even a double parent in the home, you're so busy trying to make a living that you can't look up and pay attention to what is going on, or you're allotted the time to actually be present in your kid's home, as well as the fact that, you know, I'm old school. I don't believe in, like, beating a child and disciplining your child or being able to discipline your child, you know, I think is important. Anyone that's old school had a level of discipline. I feel that laws are implemented that, you know, don't allow you to discipline your child on certain levels, which ultimately leads them to run amok. They don't have respect for a mother. And if a child doesn't have, let's take a boy, doesn't have a respect for his mom, he's ultimately not going to have respect for a woman, period, to have, like, a meaningful relationship to lead to marriage. So, therefore, I feel that there's a lot of factors. You also have to look at, you know, the community. Some women, they want to make an income, and unfortunately in our community, talking about the welfare system, you on the bad side of it running men out of the home, you also have women who are just having kids just to increase the payment that they're getting from the welfare system, which ultimately leads to politics because the way it is structured for us to have a level of dependency upon it and not criteria to get, you know, us up and out of the home and so forth.
Well, thank you very much. I heard you say, you know, you can't, they have policies and laws on the books now where parents can't even discipline their own children. So once again, this is politics and how it affects the family unit and the marriage and black families in particular, because we were raised differently. I was listening to a show, a news show today, where they were saying that traditionally when we came up, we were raised harder. Our parents were tougher on us because they knew if we veered left or right, we could lose our lives and we could get in trouble. So that we had strict rules and regulations and the discipline was there. And yes, you got beaten, you got punished. And now you have parents that feel like, oh, I can't do that because the law says I can't do that. And the stories that I hear from DHS, is horrific. How even I have a friend who literally had a 17-year-old not acting right. So as a form of punishment, she took away his allowance. She didn't take away his food. She didn't send him outside in the cold. She didn't send him to bed with, you know, didn't help not. She did everything, but the only thing she did was take away his allowance because he was acting up. And, you know, DHS stepped in and thought that that was wrong. So,
yeah.
And I'm old school. I could care less what laws, rules, regulations they make. If you're in my house, you're going by my rules, regulations. If you don't, you're going to get punished. And if whoever doesn't like it out there, they can take you and feed you. But that's
and
not going to happen here.
And on the flip side, you know, you lose all control because you are not allowed to discipline your own child. And as you stated, discipline comes in different format. I know someone that DHS interacted because they had their son hold, like, books for, you know, a time frame. And that was considered abuse in a sense. But then on the flip side, when a parent lose all control, you know, our kids are going out there and getting beaten by a police stick to death. So, I mean, where's their happy consensus? And I do want to reiterate, it does take a village to raise kids. Me, myself, as you stated, I pay attention. I'm the one that feeds the kid that, you know, I know that their mom is struggling with addiction and so forth. And then on the flip side, because I am a attention to all the kids in my community, I can go in a store in my community. Like the other day I was in there, three kids walked in with a mask. And I told them, listen, I'm not I could see the owner was uncomfortable but didn't want to say anything. And I said, hey, young boy, take your mask off. And he looked at me because under the mask he knows me. Like they call me the community mom. And he took it down. Mm-hmm. And the other two kids looked at him like, why are you listening to this old lady, you know? But it's like, I love on you, but I should be able to address you in the street as well. So we have to really get back to that.
Miss Yolanda, hold that thought. Don't hang up. Yes, I'm going to legendary DJ legend Brother O for the next track, and then I'll come right back because you made a very good point. Thank you.
You're only gonna lose your best friend. Tell him what he's seen, girl. Much better off not meddling with what a fool believes. They much rather be blind, pluck it out their mind. They only wanna see love, let it be. Only gonna get it right back once he yells at her, she screams, girl. Then you're gonna find yourself far alone without a team. Oh girl, I know that you're concerned, but you gotta let her learn, cause you can't compete with what a fool believes. You know I got another trick up his sleeve, but she don't leave. What a fool believes, a fool who believes. They come creeping in at a quarter to three, thinking you sleep. What a fool. What a fool believes. Take a good look in the mirror. Tell me what you see. Avoiding your own reflection of what a fool believes. A quirky little smile, I think you're in denial. I can't compete with what a fool believes. You know we got another trick up his sleeve, but you don't see. What a fool. A fool who believes. They come creeping in at a quarter to three, thinking you sleep. What a fool who believes, fool believes. I know that you're concerned, but you gotta let it burn, cause you can't compete with what a fool believes. Who's rushing where the wise fool goes? They're always the last.
This artist that you're playing, Glenn Lewis, he is awesome. I loved every single track you played tonight. And, yes, I was bobbing my head back and forth, and I missed a cue earlier tonight. But thank you very much for the tracks that you played. I want to give a final thought on the topic tonight, again, the politics of black marriage and how it shapes our policies and practices in the black community and around the world, the U.S., and especially in Philadelphia. I hope that I made this topic interesting and gave people something to think about more than just the usual. We know that 72, and I've heard 60% and even 59% of all the black households are being run by single black women. The numbers differ here and there from different statistics for whatever reason, but the numbers are too high. That's what we normally hear. I wanted to talk about what we needed to do and how we need both parties, both parents, to be there to make a difference in our communities, in our families. And if we start going back to the basics, like Mr. Ken said earlier tonight, we have something different. It's the traditional family nucleus we don't see as much anymore. Maybe it might be decreased by 50% or more. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, if it takes two people to have a child, it takes two people to raise them. And there are some phenomenal parents out here that do it all by themselves, single parents that do a fantastic job. I think I've done a pretty good job, but I often wonder how much better the outcome would be if I had stayed married or if, you know, we had tried a little bit harder. And at what point do we as individuals, especially parents, decide to put our children first and make sacrifices or maybe even plan better so that when we're doing things, we're looking at the forest for the trees and thinking about the whole situation instead of just thinking about ourselves. Someone or a group of us will have to make the sacrifices if we want to see a change for the better. And it starts with each and every one of us doing our part. Going to be my final thought for tonight. I appreciate everybody that called in. The time really did go by fast, and we're going to have our last thoughts from Brother O, and I look forward to seeing you all and talking to everyone again in 4 weeks, not seeing you, but talking to you. Thank you very much.
It's morning time, I can't wait until you're awake. Cause last night, just a prelude to the love we make. It's morning time, to see the sunlight shining off your face. Really just reminds me how more beautiful you are each day. Faithfully, how we still love so deep, much better than a fantasy. You and I became we, oh, oh, I believe more than what I can see. Here or even mine could conceive. God must really love me, cause you're mine. And it's getting better with time. Lately I find you keep getting better with time. You're mine, and it's getting better with time. Lately I find you keep getting better with time. Hello, my love, you know it's better you smile or you kiss. I know, my love, where we are is no coincidence. Cause both of us, we know that love is more than just a gift. It's more than trust. It's how we know that destiny exists. Faithfully, how we still love so deep. Much better than a fantasy. How you and I became we. Whoa, I believe more than what I can see. Here only than mine could see. God must really love me. After coming so far and to receive a love like God, and everything we've been through, love, I'd do it all again with you. Many love until you came along. Wasn't always sure of fate. Girl, you make love worth the wait. Cause you're mine. Bet I'm with
Thank you so much, Glenn, tonight for that wonderful soundtrack you gave me to get to the rest of the world. And, of course, tonight, Wanda Walker has been outstanding. And, of course, man, you know, this Sterling Griffin Award is getting a little tight because congratulations to Wanda Walker on her third WNBA all-time connection record, honoring Darlene Lawrence with the historic championship tonight. Outstanding, you know, wonderful transcript from her. Real proud of her tonight. Because you know what? The black family is important. There's no more I can say about it because Wanda said it all tonight. Well, tomorrow, back on here with News Forum with the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time right here on the one and only Beverly Nation. WBN has advertising doing go through time, multimedia. Pinterest, Google, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and Twitter, and go to underscore time. Hello, Deli Malay, when go to Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight? Ole de lay, dying goes with my and gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola W. Malay, when goes he saying goodnight and good luck to all the folks out there in the broadcasting land that support us on a constant basis. I want to thank all of our armed forces because it's so important. Since 2014, we've been on with the Armed Forces Network, and we really saved a lot of lives and influenced a lot of people. So thank you for all the folks that serve our country. And now back to the class of 2023, Miss Wanda Walker tonight.
I want to thank everybody tonight. The topic was very important, especially with everything we have going on in our communities. Please feel free to contact me. Let me know what you thought. If you have any extra opinions or any thing you want to add to it, please let me know. I want to say thank you to Miss Tina, particularly because that was a very good scenario she gave us, Miss Yolanda, and Mr. Ken. Those are three of the people that really added a lot of value to and different perspectives to this topic. And my duty on WBNN is to talk about politics and generational wealth. So I find all types of ways to add the word politics to topics that are affecting our community. So in a month or two, it might be about buying hair and the politics about buying hair in our community and how it affects our economy and our household finances, which are near and dear to me. I appreciate the opportunity to come on this network and be a part of this family and to give my opinion and facts, because it's very important to give facts about issues that are affecting our community. And I pray that I only get better and more creative with the wonderful support that I get from Brother O and the WBNN family. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I look forward to speaking to all of you all 4 weeks from now. Thank you so much, and have a good night.